And now our last theme message of this conference already. Man, how this week flies. Missing the Opportunity by Mike Smith.
Good evening. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Christ, and we thank you for your inspired word. Not only the word Christ in person, but for that document that we have, we call the Bible. Inspired, God breathed. Thank you for that. Lord, may your word and your will be presented, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. How many of you have ever missed an opportunity? You know, opportunities invariably involve choice. Now, there are choices that people make that affect our lives that we have no say in. For example, when we went to the Holocaust Museum, we heard a lady talk about a choice of whether she went to the right to live or to the left to die. And she didn't have the choice. But when you use the term opportunity, you are usually talking about a situation in which it involves a choice that you have the burden, or dare I use that term again, which is frowned on by teachers, never use the word in its definition, you have the opportunity to make. You have a choice when you have an opportunity. We've all missed opportunities. I will use an example of a choice that I had. Now, it's not a choice that was life-changing. I'm still disappointed about it. I've always wanted to ride in a blimp or a dirigible. I don't know why. And some of you are laughing. Yeah, I know it's a goofy idea, but I've always wanted to do it. Well, way back before, back in BB, that's before Barb. And when I still had sight, the Goodyear Corporation sent their smallest blimp up the Kanawha Valley, and it spent a week or whatever there because we had just restarted our minor league baseball team and they were celebrating it. I got to where I recognized that blimp when it came along. Even if I was inside a building like the church house where the mission was at the time. I'd hear the blimp and I'd go running up the stairs and out the door. And Harry, our preacher, he would chuckle at me and I'd look up and watch the blimp. And man, I'd just love to be able to figure out what it would be like to have a blimp ride. Well, it was right before Resurrection Day, and so Resurrection Day came along, and at the sunrise breakfast, I sat beside a friend of mine, Doyle Cook. Now, Doyle Cook worked as a head forecaster of the National Weather Service in Charleston, and his office is at the airport. And I got to talking to him about the blimp, and he said, Mike, if I had known that, I was offered a ride on that blimp. I don't like to fly. I was not interested in a ride on that blimp, but I could have given my seat to you. And I'm like, oh man, I missed that opportunity. Now that's not going to affect my life, and y'all kind of chuckle about that, but there's other opportunities. Opportunities that change your life. Just about 2 years ago, our board decided, hey, we're having struggles getting manpower and switching to digital. So our board has chosen to move the mission to Grayson, Kentucky, so we can be by a personnel factory. That personnel factory is called Kentucky Christian University. And So we're going to take that opportunity. That's a life changer. Things will be different. Yeah, I know, I went to school there, but, you know, the Grayson of 40 years ago isn't the Grayson of today. But you know what? We're going to step out on faith with that opportunity. Because, you know, we've already started packing. Haven't bought the property, but we've started packing. Because we know God will lead. Well, you know, these fellows we've been talking about, chiefly Micah and the Levite, but you would also include Micah's mother, had an opportunity. They missed an opportunity because they made some choices. It was not the choices that the Lord would have them to make, and it sure ended up being more devastating than missing a blimp ride. Micah's mother, she could have used the money for the Lord instead of ignoring what the Lord plainly stated in the Torah. They lived under the Mosaic law. They were not under the law of Christ at that time, the new covenant. And so she had the Mosaic law. And what did the Mosaic law say? Thou shalt make no graven image. Why did she do that? She missed the opportunity to choose to do the right thing. Her son did make a bad choice in stealing the money in the first place, and he gave the money back, but do you see any repentance? Maybe repentance in the fact that he got caught, but you don't see any real repentance. What you do see is strife. Anytime you miss God's opportunity and make a choice to do your will, to live in sin or whatever, and not do God's will, strife will attend. Maybe not immediately, but somewhere down the road, strife will attend. And you kind of get this idea when you see the exchange between Micah and his mother. It was almost like he gave back the money begrudgingly. Then she said she was going to take all the money and make this idol, and she wasn't even honest about that, because if I remember correctly, there's some 900 shekels or something that's missing or whatever that wasn't used for that. Forget the exact figures, but it's right there in the account. And so there's some dishonesty there. So you have a real problem there with the choices that Micah's mother made. They were not consistent with God's will as revealed in the Torah to the people that lived under the Mosaic law, God's people, the Israelites, the Jews. Now, Micah had another opportunity. He could have said, Mama, this is wrong. You shouldn't do this. Now, I understand how intimidating confronting one's mother is. I think we've all been there. Okay? But do you love the Lord? And you could have gently restore a brother. Or in this case, a mother. We would today restore them in Christ. And of course, this is under the Mosaic law, so they would restore them to keeping the law, and by that time they've already broken that, and that gets into what we discussed this afternoon in the seminar. That's another whole sermon or sermon series or even a Bible college class. But Micah failed in that choice because he was compliant. Now, my sister is a retired police officer. So I happen to know what a person that's compliant in a crime is called. They're called an accomplice. I think most of us know that. And so Micah becomes an accomplice in the sins, and it becomes a series of sins. Then he goes even a step further. Now, the temple hadn't been built. The tabernacle was at Shiloh. And where was the Ark of the Covenant? At that point, what was considered the dwelling place of God on earth? Where did the Shekinah cloud or the cloud of glory fall upon when it was dedicated? The temple. The tabernacle and later the temple. All right? Was Micah at the temple or tabernacle? No. The temple hadn't been built yet. The tabernacle was in Shiloh. He was doing his own thing. He chose to do his own thing under a veneer of righteousness. Well, I'll make the ephod, the outer garment of the priest, and I'll do this and I'll do that and set up a priest, and this idol will be to honor Jehovah. They would use the term Yahweh, but they wouldn't speak it or write it. Nonetheless, he had the graven image, and it seems to indicate later on there was more than one graven image. And so the sins deepened because of choices. You see, these are a series of choices. All these opportunities. And with each opportunity, he had a choice. He could either stop the process, slow down the process, or continue the process. And he continued right on. And I'm sure his mother was complicit. Now, there was the Levite, and we've already discussed how these, you know, people missed whatever. But again, it was a choice. The priest did travel the land, and let me tell you something. All Levites, all priests are Levites, but not all Levites are priests. So therefore, not all Levites were performing the priestly function. In fact, they had courses or groups that rotated later on. We see this in the time of David. But for some reason or other, this Levite was traveling, needed a place. Maybe he needed work. He wasn't in the priestly line at that point. Now, I'm not talking about, yes, he was a Levite, but he wasn't in one of the courses or groups that were practicing at that point. And maybe he was wanting to do some moonlighting job-wise, not necessarily something that would have been a violation of God's law. But when he came upon Micah, and Micah makes the offer, well, you know, come and be my priest, and, you know, well, I'll provide you with this and that and the other, and he's got an idol set up. He wants a private priest, and his priest complies. Now, I want to ask you a question, and it is, what is your loyalty to Christ? Back then it would have been, what is your loyalty to God and the law that he laid down were? But today we would ask, what is your loyalty to Christ were? Is it for sale? He made a choice. I would say he sold his birthright, using a parallel illustration from earlier in that, you know, talking about Jacob and Esau. At what price? Yeah, I'll do this. It's the easy way out. And sure, I've been out of work. I'm not scheduled to be to perform any priestly functions for a while. I've got to find some work to do in the interim. I've got to see what I'm, you know, and I've been out for a month, and it's not easy to find a job nowadays. That gum Minionites come over and they keep stealing our jobs, you know? This is the easy way out. And so he sells his loyalty to God. He made a choice. And so that's where they failed. Now, what did they miss? They missed God's blessing. Amen. They missed God's blessing. In the 11th chapter of I believe it's Leviticus. No, it's Deuteronomy, excuse me. Anyway, Moses stood before the people and speaking under the inspiration of God, he says to the nation, I set before you a blessing and a curse. If you keep my law, if you keep my commandments and do what my will is for you, I'll bless you, and gives all these length of blessings. And then he says, but if you disobey and go along your own way, and he lists going into captivity. And years later they did. But they didn't do it ignorant of the fact that is, maybe they did because they had to dust off some books later on in the temple because they hadn't read them in so long they lost them. But anyway, Moses, under the inspiration of God, said, hey, I set before you a blessing and a curse. And it was a series of choices. Well, you know what? These four people in here made a series of choices. And they missed blessings. One blessing that I can think of with Micah and his mother would be a little more family harmony. At least it seems to me. It seems to be there's some underlying strife and just a tension in the passage. And the Levite ends up being carried away by the Danites. He didn't know that was a curse. But any time a big army comes by and hauls you away, that makes you a little bit nervous because if they got the power to haul you away, you're not going to be able to get out of there. He lost his freedom. And he also lost his privilege to really serve God. And so that's what they missed. Now, I want to ask you this. What does it have to do with us today? What message does this passage have to do with us today? What can we learn? What's the lesson that's in here? God put it in there for a reason. It's got a reason. God doesn't do anything without a reason. And His reason may not make sense to you. His logic may not make sense to you. You know why? Because He's God and you're not. Does what we do make a sense to an ant? I'm pretty sure not. Well, that's a very poor illustration of how far God is above us. And the way the wisdom of man is as foolishness to God. And so sometimes we just plain need to trust Him. And if God says, don't make any graven image, don't make a graven image. Don't worship a graven image. And if God says, you come to the temple, the tabernacle to sacrifice, then you come to the tabernacle to sacrifice. You don't set up your own altar. It may not make sense to you. It may be a hassle to you. Yeah, I got to travel 70 miles to Jerusalem to do that, or to Shiloh, depending on which period of time you live in. Man, that's a big hassle. But God did it for a reason. And so we need to trust Him. But you know what? We have a problem. In Proverbs, it's written, there's a way that seems wise to man, but whose path leads to destruction? Now look at this response. Ha ha, I got a priest. I got my own personal priest. I'll be blessed of God. You know what? He was whistling in the dark. And I'm not talking about physical blindness either. He was ignorant of what God had instructed for His revelation, the Torah. And was also hard-headed. He wanted to do his own thing. And it led to problems. We can see that as we read down in some of those other references that were referred to by the previous preachers. Our choices always come with consequences. Amen. Sometimes you don't make a choice out of ignorance. That's what happened to me with the blimp ride. Fortunately, other than me thinking about it every once in a while, and yeah, I really would like to have done that. Other than that, there's no real consequences to it, other than that consequence of regret. But there are consequences to choices. But when you disobey God and choose to do something other than what God would have you to do, especially when it's very obvious, then the consequences are grave indeed. You know, Paul wrote about legalism. That is basically trying to earn your way through heaven through keeping all the commandments, because we can't keep all 613 of the laws that are in the Torah. So God sent His Son who did keep all those commandments and died for us. But there's another reason we keep God's commandments or Christ's commandments. John writes in 1 John, says that if we love Him, we will keep His commandments. Not out of an attempt to earn salvation. You cannot earn salvation. But you know what? I try to do what Barb tells me to do. Why? Because I love Barb. Sometimes I'm not in a very good mood about it. Please, Barb, don't tell them about those times. You know, but I try to do what she wants me to would like to do. Why? Because I'm trying to earn something. You know, she fixes me my favorite meal every Thursday night: chicken, corn, potatoes. You know, good old heart-stopping, artery-clogging, greasy Appalachian food. Lay it on me, okay? Well, you know, do I feel I have to earn that every week? I tell Barb, I don't deserve you. She says to me, Mike, I didn't marry you because I deserve you. You deserve me. You know what? We don't deserve Jesus.
Amen.
But Jesus died for us anyway. You know what? There's sometimes I've been a real scoundrel. Again, Barb, please don't provide an annotated description. She could. But you know what? Even though I've divorced Barb many times, that is, for 5 minutes, and then I realize, mealtime's coming. I can never earn that. I've been a real skunk sometimes. Has she ever said, I'm not fixing your meals? No. God is... But God is faithful and true. And He walked on this earth in the name of Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
And you know what? We miss an opportunity when we don't keep His commandments. Now, I'm not talking about being legalistic and trying to earn something. But how much do you love Him? Do you love Him to put up with the hassle? Do you love Him enough to put up with the inconvenience? Do you love Him to put up with the ridicule? Do you love Him enough to choose between what seems logical by the world's standards and what He says in His Word? Do you love Him? Did Micah love the Lord that much? I can't judge for sure because only God is judged, but I have a sneaky suspicion, no. Just based on recorded facts. What could have happened? What should have happened? Any one of these people could have restored an erring brother, or in the case of the mother, you know, an erring mother, or we would refer to her as an erring sister because of relationship in Christ. But they would have been concerned as a relationship as fellow Jews, being under the... It could have restored it. You know, Micah could have said to his mother, you know, I sinned, I stole this, and mothers could have taken the gift back and forgiven him and instructed him more correctly and used the money correctly. And when she suggested to make an idol out of it, Micah could have said, you know, Mom, that's not the right thing to do, like I said before. And you know what? Some of the people could have said, you know, there were neighbors around. Maybe they lived in a farm a mile down the road, but over a period of time, you know, people visited. None of them said, you know, Micah, this isn't right according to the law, according to God, what God wants us to do. And they could have instructed him on the right thing. You try to gently restore brother. Now, there is a process where you first go to the brother alone, and then you go, well, brother or sister, and then you go to them with witnesses, and then you bring them before the assembly, and then you disfellowship them. And then when they repent, then you restore them. And that happens very rarely because, you know, people just hop from one church to another. One fellowship to another. And when they're done stirring up one, they'll stir up the other. But they could have followed a similar process and taught him. We have instances under the new covenant where this happened. We see in 1 Corinthians, and it was a messed up church where a person was living in incest with their own, you know, I believe it was his own mother. Her stepmother. Anyway, apparently in the second letter, Paul talks about, you know, unless they be overcome with sorrow, you know, you restore such an individual. So apparently at that point they had repented and he was talking about restoring them. It could have been done with Micah. He wouldn't have had, of course, the New Testament pattern. But, you know, neighbors could have come over and said, you know, this isn't right, and corrected him on it. But none of that happened. So then you make, at least we don't have a record of it. Let's put it that way. And we really like that. We kind of assume that the neighbors were complicit and kind of looked the other way. And how often do we do that? How often do we sin by absentia? In other words, we sin by doing nothing when we see a situation. And then, finally, I want to close by something that's really on my heart. And that is the trap of trading God's will or the greatest for the good. We tend to temporize. And brothers and sisters, we have a problem, both individually and collectively, in our churches. And that is, we try, in order to attract the world, to look like the world. To possess, consider this. A church makes a contract with a local school entity. In that contract it says, no religious instruction. Now, I've heard the old thing, well, you know, religion is a bad term. It's been misused. You know, I'd want to have a relationship with Jesus. Well, yeah, I want to have a relationship with Jesus too. But when you read the legalese and it says no religious instruction, I can guarantee you, they're telling you, don't talk about Jesus. And if I have a relationship with Jesus, I can't keep my mouth shut. This is one time I don't want the zipper. We've been talking a lot about the tongue, and you're right. We all of us need a zipper sometimes. But this is one situation we do not need the zipper. We can help the kids and give them a good environment. That seems logical. That seems wonderful. Or, you know, certain people in history that were Christians said, preach the gospel wherever you go, and when necessary, use words. Francis of Assisi said that. But I don't see anywhere where Francis of Assisi was forbidden to preach the gospel. Yet we'll enter into these agreements and agree to be silent. Jesus says, he that that confesses me before Christ, I will confess before my Father. And he that denies me before the world, I will deny them. Now, you turn, does denial, does silence constitute a denial in this case? You turn to Acts, and Peter was commanded by the religious leaders of the day, do not speak about Christ. Peter stood up and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. You know what Peter risked? He had just gotten out of jail. He risked being put back in jail. He risked being beaten. He risked being tortured and killed. And yet, he stood up and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now, he could have said, yeah, and then he could have went his own way and continued to proclaim Christ and kind of snickered and said, you know, I told him I would, but, you know, it's just a little white lie, and, you know, I'm going to go ahead, and it'll further God's kingdom, because if I get jailed, killed, or whatever, it'll hinder the kingdom, according to human logic. But God said, and so Peter did not remain silent. He proclaimed Christ. Sometimes we trade the best. We trade the best for the good. And sometimes it doesn't seem logical to do what God intended us for us to do. Now, if I look at that passage, I would have done exactly what I said on my own human understanding. Yeah, I'll tell them whatever, and I'll go on and I'll do whatever. You know, go ahead and proclaim Christ. That doesn't sound logical to take that risk. And if they take you out, you've hindered the gospel. And so man's reasoning, again, is not God's reasoning. Man's wisdom is as foolishness to God. And you have an opportunity set before you, a blessing and a curse. And thank God we received the blessing of Peter being obedient because we had the gospel preached. And so, you see, this strange little passage, and when I first got the thing, and you know, I first got the reference in the mail, I looked at it and I said, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. And then it says, emphasize love. Well, what's the greatest thing I could do with love? Number one, if you got an erring brother, restore him gently so he can make the right choice when the opportunity comes up. Number two, cling to Jesus. Cling to Jesus with all your heart, mind, and soul. He is your only hope. Don't be fooled by the reasoning of the world. Don't think that God's going to bless you because you think you've got a better idea. Because, you know, that's what Micah thought. Hey, I got a personal priest. I'll be blessed. He thought he was the Ford Corporation and had a better idea. Well, it doesn't work that way. Jesus is our Lord. Amen. Do you know what the term Lord means? Now, we had a little war way back when that separated us from England. And we love our democratic society. We like to do our own thing. You know? And believe me, you want an independent lot, go to West Virginia. We're been a bunch of hard-headed, independent folk, you know? The trouble with sometimes our hard-headed independence gets away in the way of our relationship with our Lord because we don't understand that term. A number of years ago, I went to a meeting, Torch Trust for the Blind, and they straightened me out on the Lordship of Christ. They told me, Mike, if you put a postage stamp anywhere but right side up, and it has the Queen's picture on it, that is sideways, catty-cornered, upside down, whatever, that is very disrespectful. Well, my immediate response, I could see at the time, well, what if a blind person does? And their response was, well, our gracious lady would understand that situation and take that into account. But to just put the stamp anywhere, anyways, just out of carelessness or because you didn't like what the Queen didn't or did do or whatever, or political stance that the Parliament did or whatever, that's a no-no. She is our Queen. She is the greatest of our ladies. She is royalty. And yes, the Queen encompasses being Lord. We're in a worship service. You know what the word worship comes from? Worship. Your lordship. Your worship. You are worth giving obeisance to. You go further back in the history of the word, and it means to kiss towards. When we worship, we're kissing towards God. Now, what are you doing? You're doing the same thing as the peasant did when he came to the Lord of the manor. He grumbled. And he would kiss, literally kiss, the feet of the Lord. That's how it started out. You know, in history, it got modified and mollified and what have you. And it got truncated into a bow and, you know, first a kissing motion and then just a bow and so on and so forth. But it started out as the peasant literally kissing the feet of the Lord. Let me tell you something. The next thing us blind people are going to see, we who belong to the Lord, and yes, we are owned by Him. We are not of our own selves. He purchased us. We are His peasants, but He doesn't treat us like peasants, thank God. Let me tell you something. When He comes, He's going to be the next thing that we see. But are we going to stand there? I used to think we'd stand there ogling at Him. No, I don't think that anymore. You know what we're going to do? We're going to fall on our faces. We're going to fall on our faces. Oh my God and my Lord, You're coming. We will not feel worthy to be before Him. But you know what He'll do? He will take us and lift us up and change us so that we have an incorruptible body. And He has made us His inheritors and considers us to be His children, His friend. There are a number of terms. But He is the one doing that, not us. What we are to do is to do His will as revealed in His Word and as assisted in prompting by the Holy Spirit. That's what Micah and the Levite and his mother failed to do. If you have ears to hear with, or if you have fingers to read with, hear my word. And I'm not talking about my as in me. I'm talking about my as in the Lord's word. I'm just a mouthpiece tonight. May your life be blessed. And may your life be changed. And your relationship with Jesus Christ be strengthened from what we've learned and studied here tonight. And if you're not a Christian, today is the day of salvation.
Thank you, Mike. Another great message. Yes. And now Peter is going to give us a report on,
I got it. Right here.
On how much we collected for the missions.
I think we did a wonderful job. We collected $479, and I think we all got to get a hand. Great job, everyone.
Thank you. And now as we close in prayer, and then but following this prayer of mine, of course, is our memorial service. So Vivian will come up here and do that. Our Father, we do thank you and praise you for another good message. We pray, Father, that we will take it seriously as what you would have us to do, that your will may be done in our lives. In your way, we pray. Amen.